The ability to speak with confidence and present for impact is easily the most valuable skill you can have in today's world. When you can share your knowledge, you can facilitate change, and when you can facilitate change, well, you can change the world one conversation at a time. But most people think they can't speak articulately, confidently, or with impact. They get choked up by nerves, they lose their words, or that dreaded imposter syndrome shuts them down. Well, I'm happy to say that speaking is a skill that anyone can learn. Yes, even you. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. My name is Kat Mattson, and welcome to Speaking with Confidence. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson. Yes, I am Kat, and it's awesome to have you here again. Whether you're watching on YouTube, on Instagram, on where else can you watch, on my website, or whether you have me just in your ears, it's awesome to have you here. Thank you for joining me. Today's episode is a juicy one, and it's interesting. I realized as I was preparing for this particular episode, I haven't explained to you, if you are a regular listener, one of the things that I've been playing with the podcast. Obviously, I've had quite a few guests over the last 20 or so episodes, just different conversations. And one of the reasons why I'm having all of these different conversations that aren't necessarily directly related to speaking confidence is because what I'm all about is impact. What I'm all about is confidence. What I'm all about is supporting impact-minded leaders, whether they're small business owners, public servants, managers and leaders in large or small organizations, helping them with the tools and the frameworks and the confidence they need to make the impact that you want to make in the world. And Speaking with Confidence is a podcast that I've now been running for 4 years. And one of the things that I've discovered through this podcast, as well as through the work that I do with impactful presenters, is that speaking with confidence is a gateway to life confidence. And when you have life confidence, then you start to tap into your potential, your professional potential. You start to show up fully as you. And so the interviews that I've been choosing to have been exploring other ways of getting this confidence, other gateways to this confidence. So if you've been listening for a while now and enjoying the conversations, but wondering where is this going? That's where it's going. So in today's episode, we're having a chat with Shanae Carey, who she has a new podcast, as you're about to hear, called The Shanae Show. And she's also an intuitive business coach and business mentor. And she has such a beautifully spiritually and energetically aligned approach to business growth, but also to helping her clients reach their potential, get rid of their blocks, that I wanted to have this conversation on the show. So even if you're not a business owner, you will thoroughly enjoy this conversation. Now, a heads up, it is about intuition. We talk about subconscious beliefs. We talk about self-sabotage. I get that for some listeners, that might be a little bit woo. That might be a little bit, I don't know, witchy or new agey. Completely up to you whether you listen in. I personally think it's quite juicy because what Shanae does masterfully is balance the practical with the magical. And you'll hear all about that in this conversation. So if you're choosing to listen in, please do so. And perhaps as you're listening, you might want to leave a review or leave a comment. Whichever platform you're listening on, my favorite is Spotify, but if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any other platform, I would love for you to leave a review. The reason? It helps other people just like you find this podcast. And the more people who can speak with confidence, the more people who have the confidence they need to show up in the world, then honestly, I say the better our world will be because we need more magical, bold, bright and intelligent people showing up and expressing themselves in the world. So with that said, please leave a review, do your thing on whatever platform that you're listening on, and please enjoy this conversation with Shanae. Shanae, welcome to the Speaking with Confidence podcast. I'm just deliciously anticipating this conversation with you today, so thank you.
Thank you, Kat. I think deliciously anticipating is a perfect description.
It literally just came to me. So before we get into that delicious conversation, can you tell our listeners a little bit about you? I mean, I've just introduced you all professionally and whatnot, but who are you? What do you do and why do you do it?
Well, as you said, my name is Shanae and I call myself an intuitive business coach. Sometimes it's an intuitive business mentor, and I do a little bit of coaching and a little bit of mentoring depending on the circumstances. And if I'm honest, my specialty is businesses that are run by marginalized people, and particularly women and non-binary folk, because the experience that we have in the world, and especially in the world of business within that subset, is very, very different to perhaps people who identify as men. So I support people to work within their natural rhythms and the things that show up for them, because it's a little bit different.
Nice. Tell me a little bit more about that before we get into it. Like what have you noticed is the other main differences that we experience as women and non-binary people?
So one of the things that shows up from my personal experience, but also in what I've seen with my clients over the years, is there are some marketing tactics and some strategies out there in the world. You can tell where I'm going with this.
Bro marketing.
Yep. That, in my opinion, doesn't sit very well for a lot of us who are wanting to make an impact, to make a difference. And that's my people, and I suspect your people as well, anyone listening to this podcast, because impact is a pretty key word. And these people really find themselves almost repulsed by the bro marketing tactics that push people's boundaries, that don't have any kind of consent built into it, etc., etc. Insert all of the different examples there. And even though that's quite common, it's not the only way that business can be done. And I like to think that I'm a living, breathing example of that. And yes, I have my own form of privilege. You know, being a person who is white skinned, but the marginalization that I experience as a person who identifies as a woman means that, oh, can I do it like this? That inner dialogue, and I think we'll probably end up going down this part of doubt and uncertainty and concern, and we second guess ourselves a lot more than men, for lack of a better word, do.
It's interesting. I was having a conversation with a gentleman this morning and he reflected on his own, and he used the phrase his own imposter syndrome, and I was like, I said, it's really interesting to hear you say that. And he said, why? And I said, well, because us women tend to think that it's a chick thing. We tend to think that it's a girl thing. He says, oh no, I think it's a human thing. I do think though women have a tendency to feel it deeper. And in my experience of working with men and women, women tend to allow the imposter syndrome to stop them more than guys will. Guys will go, yeah, okay, I notice it, and I'm going to move through anyway. You mentioned that you call yourself an intuitive coach or mentor. Tell me about the intuition part, because I think, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm drawn to you, of course, but it's a very unusual label to put on a business coaching and business mentoring business.
Well, Kat, there are a lot of people who do business coaching, and they are, for want of a better phrase, a dime a dozen. There are some amazing ones out there, and I have had the pleasure of working with quite a few of them. But everybody can do strategy. Well, we'd like to hope everyone can do strategy when it comes to a business coach. That's another conversation, perhaps for another day. But what I like to do is bring in the intuition piece, because if we are being told or mentored or coached down a pathway like the bro marketing we were talking about before, and it doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel right, that's generally our spidey senses, our intuition, our internal compass pointing us away from that. And the intuition piece, and we can talk a little bit about how it works and all of that sort of stuff in a moment, but the intuition piece allows my clients and the people that I work with to learn how to advocate for themselves, but it also informs how I do things because there's no cookie cutter approach in my world. I don't suggest A, B, and C to a particular client and then suggest A, B, and C to the next client and so on and so forth. They might get C, D, and F or A, B, Z. The combinations are limitless, really. And if we aren't receiving the information that is available to us, whether that's intuitive or otherwise, and acting upon it, then I think we're doing ourselves a great disservice.
I love this so much. One of the things that I know I have struggled with in the past is knowing what is my intuition mm-hmm. and what is my, I'm going to say, child ego state resistance to doing something or desire for something. Mm-hmm. I want an ice cream. I don't want to do my homework. You know, there's that. And I mean, and that can feel the same as I want to work with that person. I don't want to work with that person. How do we discern what is true intuition versus programming, societal messages, what we think we should do next?
Very common question, Kat. People ask this quite a lot. And my simplest answer that I can offer is intuition is not going to land or arrive, whatever might be the right word for you, with any kind of story attached to it. It's usually very concise. It's usually very straightforward. And that, like, if you then go into doubt or worry or concern after that, that's another story. And we can talk about how that happens and why. But the piece of information that is the intuition is usually turn left here or don't work with that person. There's no more context to it. It's not someone narrating your life to you.
I think you've possibly just changed my life. That, like, that is such a beautiful, well, that's so beautifully clear. And I can think of plenty of times where I've had that sense of turn right as distinct to blah, 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 because that's what it's the stories we tell ourselves, right? It's the stories. I was checking out your website earlier and you've got a beautiful About Me page, and you talk a lot about how you're here to encourage people to play a bigger game and how you are very much holding space for people to not play small. Why do people play small? Why do we play a smaller game than what we could?
I believe the answer to that is our subconscious programs, or you might call them subconscious beliefs, or there's a few different variations, but essentially the stories that are stored in our subconscious is what is driving the car that is our human vehicle. And those programs, if left unchecked, are going to continue to inform it, for want of a better, like, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be, there's no cosmic rule that says your subconscious beliefs are all going to be pure and optimistic and clean and in your highest possible good, for your highest possible good, I should say. There's none of that, because we come into this human existence with free will. And maybe that was a mistake and maybe not.
So how do we recognize then when a subconscious belief or story that we've got running, how do we recognize that that's, well, one, how do we recognize that that's a subconscious story that we've got playing, and then how do we know how to fix it?
So one of the things I find is if we're, let's say we're setting some goals, we have some things that we'd like to achieve and accomplish in, whether it's our lives, our businesses, our communities, whatever it might be, and we're heading in that direction, yet despite our best efforts, we always seem to thwart said efforts with some kind of thing. And it just, it's always different and there's always something though. That's usually a pretty good sign that there's something going on at that subconscious level, because all of our conscious reasoning mind, which is 90 something percent of our consciousness, is going in this direction. This is where we're headed. But then things get in the way. Things are going to be little hurdles or road bumps or complete detours along the way. Those sorts of things, even though the subconscious is not something that we're consciously aware of, as the name suggests, it's informing every part of our lives. So if you find that you're heading in one direction and things just can't seem to go that way, then there's a pretty good chance that there's some subconscious programming there that's contradicting where you're headed in your conscious goal setting direction.
So those repetitive detours or thwarted goals, is that what we mean when we talk about self-sabotage? Like, it's those doing things to trip ourselves up even though we know we could have had it better?
Yeah, 100%. And because it's below the level of our reasoning mind, we're not intentionally sabotaging ourselves. And this can be really hard to wrap our brains around. Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't intentionally create that.
Yeah, I'm actually just thinking of some... Yeah, I'm just thinking of how I think of my own self-sabotage patterns when I've seen them. I get quite cranky with myself. It's like, oh, for crying out loud, you've done this before. But as you say, it's sitting beneath the surface. It's not a... It's not something that we're aware of we're doing until we actually take that moment out. So how do you help your clients then overcome those self-sabotages? How do you help them see what's sitting below the surface? And is it something that you end up seeing, or do you just gradually move back to where you want to be, and in creating new habits you create new subconscious stories?
It's a really good question. So the way I do it is a combination of both intuition, which is I sense and detect, oh, there's something here, let's go explore, or it's like a neon sign going, this is it. Sometimes it's very clear. And then other times, you know, it's the clients describing their frustrations, and then we go exploring and excavating. So in my work, the way I do it is it's always consent-based. So I'll check in and say, look, there's something here. Are you comfortable with us going and exploring a little bit? Do I have your permission, and do I do that? Because that's a really big problem with the intuitive spaces, or even in the more broader spirituality spaces, in these times that we find ourselves in, is that there is a lot of bypassing people's consent, and just, you know, just because you can intuit something doesn't mean that you have the right to deliver a piece of information to somebody. And so in an unregulated industry, I will, in a paid container with a paying client, check in with them, ask their consent, and say, What do you feel comfortable with? If so, can we go and explore this? And so on their behalf, I will evaluate what is happening in their subconscious. And so sometimes it appears as a piece of information, i.e. like there's a blockage here. And so we explore that. Other times it's there's a dominant program of I'm not good enough to do this. And that just lands and it presents itself, and then that is what we then work on untangling through some energetic practices together.
Sounds fantastic. And I can, having been around this space for long enough, I can also sense that there is, you'd be bringing in a few different modalities to help people detangle, delayer, and I guess tapping into what's going to work for them to understand it. I'm curious though, how did you get into this work? How did you, I don't know, discover, find out that this was your thing, this was your gift to the world? And then my follow-up question, which I suspect you'll answer collectively, is how did you then develop the bravery, is the word that's coming to me, but it's not quite right, but the guts to go out there and put yourself out there in this space, in an unregulated industry, in a space that is often questioned, is often seen a bit woo. So yeah, how did you find out and how are you doing?
Well, the short answer for the first part of that question is very meta, because it was intuition, but I didn't know it at the time. So my intuitive mentor, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, is based in Australia, and she was a client of mine way back in the day. And I had seen her in online spaces that we both sort of showed up in. And back then, the way that she presented her work didn't resonate. And then she changed the branding of it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, my ears pricked up a little bit. And so I did a little exploration, had a little dabble in like the intro program that she offered at the time. And then went, okay, I don't know why, but I have to do this. And this is a big 12-month, really rigorous, intensive training that has been superseded COVID, all of that sort of stuff over the years. And so the short answer is my intuition pointed me there, and I couldn't explain it and I couldn't justify it at the time. And you know what? A lot of my peers who are also graduates of that say the exact same thing. I didn't know why I had to do it, but I just had to do it. And so to answer your second piece, like the bravery piece, that's something that I coined term from her, which is spiritual self-esteem or spiritual stamina, or tapas, the heat, the fire. Is there's a formula, and if you'll indulge me for a little moment, I'll explain it. It's just a three-part formula. The formula for spiritual self-esteem, which is that bravery, that courage to then put yourself out there, come out of the spiritual closet, if you will, is your innate intuition, which we all have, not a special gift bestowed upon a select few. It's that innate intuition plus what it is that you are going to call it, whether it's bravery, whether it's trusting yourself, whether it's whatever. That is the recipe for like living and breathing it and having it forming part of your life. My intuition is not something that I switch on, or I don't peer into a crystal ball and like it's part of how I do things. I poured myself a drink last night and I took a sip and went, this isn't right. And I tipped it down the drain. Like, it was a beautiful gin and something else. And I tipped it down the drain because it just didn't feel right. And I'm at that point now of trusting myself with a lot of practice, mind you, that if I get an intuitive nudge, I trust it. And sometimes I don't know why. Often I don't know why. We have to, you know, get okay with that, because it's really not something that the universe or the cosmos or whatever you want to call it is going to go, oh, here, Kat, here's all the justification that your human self was looking for. It doesn't happen like that.
So what, yeah. Give us that three-part formula again.
Innate intuition. So what we all have, whether we use it or listen to it, it's another story, but we all have it. It's biological. Innate intuition plus trusting it. That by itself is nothing. Well, it's not nothing, but it's very little if you don't do anything with it. When you put those two things together, that's how it starts to become something really powerful and really transformative.
It's as I'm listening to you, there's a part of me saying, oh, I want that. And then I think, I think I have a lot of that. Yeah, I've got that. And I've learned, particularly over the last 12 months, to really lean into knowing that I have that. And as you say, doing things without having the full explanation yet. Do you find that there'll be times when you'll act on an intuitive nudge and you will never know the answer of why you went?
Like, frequently.
Don't know why you turned right.
Very much so. In fact, that's more often the case, more common than having the debrief document delivered in my inbox.
I think that's really important for us to speak about, though, because in the new age world of, you know, everything has a reason, or, you know, blah, 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 it's like we're always looking for what did that message mean? Doesn't matter. You didn't need to know. You just you avoided something, or you did something, or you saw something, and it doesn't matter. So then coming back to the work that you do, and for listeners who are wondering, why are we having this conversation on the Speaking with Confidence podcast? Well, because these themes are actually really similar to what I see a lot in my clients in the Impactful Presenters program, because it's all of that stuff about not being good enough. What I have to say isn't important enough. What my voice is not worthy enough. It's no wonder nobody ever listens to me because I don't, you know, it's all the same stuff. And when we can speak from a place of intuitive authenticity, framed in a way that we can articulate ourselves well, we become really potent, really powerful. So coming back to the work that you do with your clients, as you've reflected back to them, you've shown them, you've untangled, what happens when they break through? What happens when they see a self-sabotage pattern and they start doing things differently? And particularly, I'm going back to that question that I asked around, you know, you're not here to help people play small.
There's an example that comes to mind when you ask that, Kat, and there is a person who I worked with a number of years ago now who used to tell a particular story. She would run this particular narrative about, oh, I'm not very good with tech. And funnily enough, guess what happened? She wasn't particularly great with tech. And I highlighted this to her, and a lot of my clients come to me not just because I am a little bit different with the business coaching, because there's an intuitive flavor, but also because I'm like, I'm not going to pander to your limiting beliefs about yourself, because I believe that there is more for you here. And I will, you know, hold that space and guide you and shine that light so that you may see that for yourself. And so, you know, I deliver some hard truths sometimes. And this was one of those hard truth moments. And I said to this person, like, you're telling this story and you keep perpetuating it. You are the narrator of this experience. And she kind of paused and went, oh, that stings a little bit. And you're right. And what ended up happening as a result of that is she needed to change her dialogue, her internal dialogue. She was running a program that was based upon a story of not being good enough, since we've used that theme already today in our conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was then informing her, quite literally, having a very 3D experience about not being good enough. So she started to change how her internal dialogue went. And instead of I'm not good at and a very black and white statement, we worked on what she could say instead. And it seems quite simple to say, well, an example of that could be, I am learning how to be better with tech. But that was so difficult to get to that point because that narrative was so deeply ingrained. What ended up happening for that particular client is she changed her entire narrative and no longer subscribed to the idea that she was terrible at tech and created a new reality. And that, of course, is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it wasn't without effort. And I think this is a really key part of the equation. Like, I can highlight something, I can spot self-sabotage a mile away, but if the person isn't willing or ready to put the effort in to change things, then the results reflect that or don't reflect that. So this particular person was rewarded greatly for their efforts. And because she was willing to get uncomfortable, change what she was saying, it was mostly internal self-talk, but that willingness to change the dialogue created a completely different reality for her.
I love it. 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 I've said a few times now that confidence is a function of our experience, our expertise, amplified or diminished by the stories that we tell ourselves. You know, we can have the facts of our lives. This is what I've done. This is what I've learned. But it gets exponentially either amplified or diminished by the stories that we tell ourselves. I just see it over and over again. There was a question that popped into my head and it's just popped back out. Oh, yes. Why is this work so important to you? Like, this is, I don't want to use the word calling, but it's obviously important work to you.
Well,
what pulls you forward in this work?
The first part to answer that question, Kat, is when I pulled it all together. So I had a business that was very 3D, very practical. There was no woo anywhere to be seen. I was very much a muggle, if you know the Harry Potter reference. I was very much a muggle, a non-magical person. I did pretty well. And then I veered off that path to explore the intuition piece and started to teach that, became a teacher, learnt it, loved it, fell in love. Oh, this is what I want to do. I want to help people have this same kind of experience. And then that was okay. Wasn't as good as the original business, but it didn't quite feel right. And it wasn't until I amalgamated the two and had the marriage of the practical and the magical together that my business exploded at that point in time. And like, who doesn't want that? That was great. And it wasn't burnout inducing because I've got really good strategies to support myself with that. But when that happened, I was like, oh, that's where it's at. Like, I didn't know that from the beginning. I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to support people and to offer some of the things that came quite naturally to me, but I didn't have that clarity. So I think that's important to offer to the conversation. But then second to that as well, there's this, when I think about what I have, and you know, you said the word maybe calling isn't quite right, but when I think about what I had to offer when I first started being of service beyond a regular 9-to-5, there's a piece in there that is, you know, there's that saying that the magic happens outside of the comfort zone. And that's a lovely, lovely turn of phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But I live and breathe that phrase. And I push limits and I try new things and I do stuff that's outside of the comfort zone. And I take people on the journey and share it prolifically on social media because that's just who I am. And that piece is what people were lapping up, essentially. It was that willingness to go beyond comfort zones. And I was really rewarded repeatedly, again and again and again, right back from the beginning, all the way through my journey. And so I know that there's more, and there's so much, and I push limits, and there's so much more that I haven't tapped into. So if I can offer people even just a slither of what that feels like, then I'm doing something good in the world. Mm. And I can't help myself but pursue that.
I love that. And in particular, what I want to make very overt for our listeners was you didn't know this is where you were meant to be until you were in it. Like, it was literally just following the nudges, following the interests, following the cookie crumbs, because they're far more interesting than breadcrumbs. And then it's when you're in that place, you go, oh, and who knows what the next oh is, but you just keep doing what feels right now. I love that. Speaking of things that feel right now, you have recently started a new podcast, which means that you're now speaking on a regular basis. So tell us a bit about the podcast, because then I want to ask the question that I ask every single one of my guests, which is, what's your number one speaking to? But tell us about the podcast first.
For those of you who follow the sacred money archetypes, there is a celebrity archetype. I am the epitome of that celebrity archetype, and Kat and I have spoken about this on many occasions. So I call my podcast The Shanae Show. Fitting, very fitting.
As you should.
In its infancy, which it currently is, it is documenting my journey of doing that comfort zone leap thing. I let go of the property that we were renting, and we have a camper van. So my husband, my dog, and I live on the road full time in a camper van, not a caravan. We don't have a car and a van. We have a camper van all in one. Just want to make sure that small space is very clear. And like, why not? Why not? Let's try. And so the podcast was born of two things. One, to document my entrepreneurial freedom journey, which is a deeply held value of mine, that idea that anyone who starts a business usually has a lifestyle kind of freedom something or other in their vision. So I'm documenting that and capturing the stories. I cried. I sent Kat the episode when I was like, I've just recorded this. Can you please listen to see if I should send this out into the world? It did. It made it out into the world. You can listen to it. And it captures my journey, my experiences. And that's all of it, good, bad, ugly. And eventually it will evolve into incorporating some business discussions. But for now, van life is brand new. So all of the subject matter is van life focused.
And I love, and I think the distinction that I've just heard today for the first time is that van life, as romantic as I think it sounds, because, oh my goodness, I so want to do that. This is actually just as much you stepping out of your comfort zone again, because I heard you stress the smallness of the space. I gather you're not
finding that comfortable
right now. It's a novelty
in small pieces of time, like small chunks. And you're right, the romanticizing, I get that sentiment shared with me quite a bit, like, oh, that's my dream. And I'm like, it's great. Also, right now, time of recording this with you, I am just for 1 week staying with my parents to get some work done on said camper van. And it's bloody great, Kat, to be in a house. It's so good. I have my desk. Well, it's my mum's little diamond dot desk, to be fair. But I don't have to pack my shit up every day. Should have probably warned everybody that, I swear. I don't have to pack up any of my laptop stuff at the end of the day. It's just here waiting, at the morning of the next day. It's the little things, honestly, that and bathtubs, and I could go on, but that's another story for another day. So yes, Kat, you've picked up on a theme. Yes.
That's a good theme. So tune in to the Shanae show, and we'll pop the links. We'll pop the link to that in the show notes. So that does bring me to my closing question, which is a shame because I could keep doing this for a while, but we all have things to do. What is your number one speaking tip for our listeners who are, who are
some of the best opportunities that I've ever
had? What's your speaking
tip? Speaking have been the result of getting outside of my comfort zone. So off the back of what we've just been talking about, my tip for speaking that I'd like to offer the listeners is, if you just stick to what is comfortable, you won't get to see what magic's on the other side of the comfort zone. Oh, the magic.
Mic drop. That's so true. It's so true. And it is such a reminder that stepping into the discomfort is actually part of magic making. Like you can't create magic from everydayness.
I know, right?
Yeah. Damn, but that's okay. Shanae, thank you. Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be easy? We don't have to be making magic all the time, though. It's okay. There are cycles. But I love that. Thank you. Shanae, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been
Thanks,
it was delicious, just as we thought it was going to be. Delicious, gorgeous, provocative, and so deeply powerful. I just loved that conversation, and I really hope that you have taken away something too. What always strikes me when I talk with Shanae is how crystal clear she is about what she's saying. There is There's a precision in what she's saying without a harshness. It's just clarity. And it's very clear now to me, having had that conversation with Shanae, that that clarity comes from her trusting her intuition, knowing that what she is saying, what she is thinking, what she's feeling is the thing. So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation. And if you would love to reach out to Shanae, then you can find her on all of the social media channels. In fact, I will post the links in the show notes, but you simply want to search for Shanae, which is C-H-E-N-A-E, Carey, C-A-R-E-Y. You will find Shanae pretty much everywhere. Follow her on Instagram and, of course, check out The Shanae Show for her current adventures on van life, as well as whatever she does next, because being that celebrity archetype that she is, she'll do something next. She'll do something next. You'll also find in the show notes a link to her website where you can find all about her intuitive coaching and mentoring services. I highly recommend working with Shanae. You can just imagine where she would take you and your business. Also in the show notes, you will find a link to the Speaking with Confidence Facebook group. That's Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson on Facebook. Yes, it's exactly the same name as this particular podcast. And it's where we get to discuss all things this podcast, other forms of confidence. We get to brainstorm and you get to ask questions about speaking, the whole gamut. So head over to Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson on Facebook. And finally, if you haven't done it already, if you're not already on my newsletter list, because every Tuesday I send out a speaker's notes newsletter, you want to do that. You want to sign up for it, because in that newsletter, I give a speaker's tip every week. I let you in on some of my other internal musings, and I let you know of upcoming dates for free and my paid workshops. So head over to impactfulpresenters.com. That's impactfulpresenters.com. Click on the link to get the free How to Stop Rambling ebook, and hey presto, you'll be on my newsletter list. So with all that done, I hope you have enjoyed this particular episode, and I hope that whatever decision you have to make next, you're able to listen to your intuition a little bit more. I look forward to seeing you next time, and in the meantime, here's to confidence and here's to impact. I'll see you soon.